All right, ladies, well, welcome to day 5 of the Uncommon Woman Challenge. Tonight we are going to talk about the power of people. And I'm so excited about that because I love people. I just love people. I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear people's perspectives. I love to hear just how they gather information and how they choose to learn. I love hearing how people have different learning styles. I just love people. So tonight's affirmation is simply this. If you have your journal in front of you, I would ask that you repeat it with me. And it simply says, today I eliminate negative people out of my life, including family members. I know I can go only as far as the people I surround myself with. From this day forward, I only attract people into my life that are positive. Today, I eliminate negative people out of my life. I'm going to read that one more time. Today, can you sit up straight for me? If you guys are slouched over, sit up straight for me and repeat this with me. Today, I eliminate negative people out of my life, including family members. I know I could only go as far as the people I surround myself with. From this day forward, I only attract people into my life that are positive. Today, I eliminate negative people out of my life. So before I really get started in the content that I have for you on tonight, I just wanted to address a few people mentioned about eliminating family members out of their life because that's in the affirmation that we had tonight. And some people said that one lady shared with me that she had to eliminate her mother out of her life until she got herself together. And I want to just share with you guys that sometimes that just has to be that way. Even if we have the same bloodline as they do, sometimes it just has to go down that way until we are strong enough within ourselves to be able to handle that person. So sometimes cutting your family members out of your life is a necessity. And I know everybody is big on family first, and I put my family first and all of that. It is designed to be that way. I strongly believe that it's designed to be that way. But we also have to love ourselves enough to respect ourselves enough to sometimes eliminate family members out of our lives. If they don't honor and respect who we are as a person, it has to go down like that sometimes, unfortunately. Like I said, until you can get yourself to where you need to be, to where you can handle those family members. So tonight we're talking about the power of people. And one of the most important skills in the world, one of the absolute most important skills in the world, some of us may think that it's singing or dancing or acting or speaking or teaching, and it really is not. I don't care how gifted and talented someone is at their craft or someone is at their skill, the number one important skill that we have is the ability to build rapport and trust with other people. When we can learn how to build rapport and trust with other people, it literally makes you an incredible and irresistible leader and also an incredible motivator. So that's what I want to talk about, the power of people and building rapport with people and allowing people into our lives. So often I've heard women say so many times, I just don't get along with other women. Women are catty. Women are gossipers. They're backstabbers. And I'm often baffled by when a woman says to me, I don't deal with other women, because to me, that is a clear indication that she does not deal with herself. Because if you are a woman but you don't like women, you are included in that description as well. So that often bothers me. Like, no, you got to love women. You have to love people because you are a person. So you want people to treat you a certain way. So you have to treat other people a certain way. And we've all heard the quote that says, you know, you will be as successful as the top five. I don't know if all of you have heard that, but the top five people that you spend the most of your time with, it is so imperative that those people that you spend the most of your time with, that they are people that are influencers and people that are doing what it is that you want to do. That is so important. When you are, I want you guys to think about just the power that other people have. Like, I can tell when my husband has been talking to someone at his job that he typically doesn't normally talk to, because he'll come home and bring home different language or different words that he's picked up. And we don't even realize that we pick up other people's habits. It's so subtle. But if you hang around one of your friends, eventually you're going to start saying the phrases that she says. I know I do it. That's why it's important for us to hang around people that are where we want to be and where that are doing the things that we ultimately want to do. Because the power of hanging out with someone is so strong. Like, I want you guys to understand, think about a time when you're in a conversation with someone and someone just rubs their nose. If they itch their nose, more often than not, a couple seconds later, you'll itch your nose just by association, just by watching that person. So you want to make sure that the people that you surround yourself with are positive people. So I want to just ask you guys one question, and I hope you guys have your pen in your hand or your pencil in your hand. And I want you to think about right now, what person in your life that you know that you know that you know that you need to eliminate them from your life? You know that their season is up, but for whatever reason you've been hanging on to that person, I want you to write that name down. Write the name down of the person or persons that you need to let go of in your life right now. Whoever came up for you, if it's a family member, if it's a coworker, if it's a neighbor, whoever it is, I want you to write their name down. So have you ever noticed, and I know most of us on this call have experienced this, because I do believe that each and every single woman on this call is a leader. I really believe that. Like, I can't express to you how much I believe that each and every single one of you on this call is a leader. I believe that I only attract leaders into my life. And so as a leader, more often than not, people call on you with their problems and with their issues. And so have you ever noticed that if you're in a conversation with someone and you go to talking about yourself, sharing something about your day, and it's not even a couple seconds later that person totally takes over the conversation and now they're talking about themselves. One of the things that is very difficult for people to do is to be a good listener. And I know that all of us on the call tonight are good listeners, because I know that you're a leader and I know that people feel comfortable with you. And that's why so many people come to you and share their stuff. They dump their stuff onto you because you are a good listener and people do feel comfortable revealing what it is that they're going through with you. So I want to share with you four types of people to avoid, and then I'm going to follow that up with four types of people that you want in your space. So for my note takers, the first person that you want to avoid in your life, number one, is the taker, the person that is always taking from you. It can be taking your time, taking your money, taking your energy. I mean, every time you turn around, they're asking you for something, and they are never adding to the relationship. And I don't care who this person is in your life, you need to avoid them, because that really is a sign of being a people pleaser if you are always around these people that are taking from you and you never say no. You never tell them, no, this is where I draw the line. So that's number one. You want to avoid the person that is the taker, that's always taking from you. Number two is you want to avoid the complainer. The complainer, the woman or the man that is always, it's raining outside, it's a bad day. Oh, I couldn't get there. My car got a flat tire. Oh, I didn't have enough money to do this. The person that no matter what, you could take them to Dubai and they are going to find something to complain about. You want to avoid that type of person because without a shadow of a doubt, if you surround yourself with these people, you will become one of them. So you want to avoid the complainer. The third person that you want to avoid is the doubter, Debbie Doubter, the woman that no matter what you say, she doubts it. She's always doubting other people. She's doubting circumstances, and she's doubting herself. She never really sees the bright side of any situation. And the fourth person that you want to avoid is the consoler, the person who is always telling you what you want to hear. And I know we could be like, but wait a minute, I need that person. I need somebody to tell me what it is that I want to hear. And you don't, because going to someone that's always consoling you is really taking the place of God in your life. If you are always going to this person because you know they're going to say, oh, sweetheart, everything will be okay, or I'll help you through this, and they never give you that hard, honest truth, they are taking the place really of the Holy Spirit, because he is supposed to be our comforter and our consoler. So you want to make sure that you avoid those four types of people and be aware that if you are one of those four types of people, pray and ask God to give you balance. Ask God to give you balance, because if you are the taker, the complainer, the doubter, or the counselor, someone is avoiding you, or someone is complaining about you, or someone is not trying to be around you. And that's the hard, honest truth. So the four types of people that you want to make sure that you have in your life, number one is the optimist. That would be me. The optimistic person, the person that thinks you can do anything. If you tell them that you want to run a 5K tomorrow and you haven't worked out in 5 years, they're telling you, yes, girl, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. So you want to make sure that you have, you have an optimistic person on your life team. The second person that you want to make sure that you have on your life team, now this may sound like I'm contradicting myself, but give me a minute and I'll explain. You want to make sure you have a pessimist on your life team. And when I say by pessimist, this is what I mean. I took a class with Valerie Burton. I love Valerie Burton. If you guys don't know her, you guys can look her up. She's actually who I got my training through, becoming a life coach. And she was doing she was speaking here in Baltimore at a church, and she was talking about the difference of an optimistic person and the difference of a pessimist. And so when she was talking about the optimistic person, I'm like, yes, that's me. I know. I'm always like, yes, you can do it. You can do it. And when she described the pessimist, she described my husband. My husband is a pessimist. Now, when I say a pessimist, they are the type of people that are, they are realists. They're not necessarily negative. They're not necessarily a doubter. They are just very, very real. And that is my husband. And the way that Valerie described this, described why having an optimist around you is not a bad idea. A pessimist is not a bad idea. She said, because I don't want an optimistic person building the bridges that we drive over. She's like, okay, so yeah, you can just do it. Just grab me that nail, grab me that hammer. You can do it. She's like, I want a pessimist to build the bridges that we drive over, the person that always sees stuff that could go wrong, but they're still going to do it. And my husband literally used to build bridges. So when she gave that example, I'm like, oh, my goodness. It really, Now, I'm sharing this with you because it's so real. When she described that, when she said, I want a pessimist to build the bridges that I drive over, I had the biggest aha, and I had gotten a whole new appreciation for the way that my husband, the way that he is, his makeup, the way that God created him, because of the call on his life. My husband works in construction. He's a welder. And so he is always looking for things that could go wrong, which he needs to, because he's always on something dangerous, something that's God only knows how many feet up in the air and just hanging off and walking on little metal, metal beams. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But he is built for the job that he's called to do. So you want to make sure that you do have that pessimist on your life team, but make sure that they have a balance. They're a little bit optimistic and pessimistic at the same time. The third person that you want to make sure that you have on your life team is the bold truth teller. This is the friend that is not afraid to tell you that your stuff needs to be fixed. This is the girl, and I have one of these friends, and years ago when my marriage was crappy, I mean, it was really, really bad. My husband and I went through some really, really tumultuous years, and I used to have a very bad attitude towards my husband, and my friend used to always say, Angel, don't talk to him like that. And I would get angry at her, like, wait a minute, he's my husband. He's not, who are you telling who to talk to? You can't tell me how I'm supposed to talk to him and blah, blah, blah. But eventually I did thank her, and I'm so grateful for her friendship, because she wasn't afraid. She knew that I was going to get upset, but she also knew that I needed to hear the truth. You have to have those people that will lovingly and boldly tell you the truth. And you know who these people are because they have your best interest at heart. They're not just somebody that's always telling you what you need to do and what you don't need to do, but these people really have your back. And the last person that I believe that everybody needs to have on their life team is their Gail. And what I mean by that, and this is something that I share with my elite business coaching clients. When I say you're Gail, Oprah Winfrey's best friend's name is Gail. So when was the last time you saw Oprah Winfrey post something on social media that said, I don't know, let me get an example, this lady in the grocery store today pissed me off. I've never seen anything like that on any of Oprah Winfrey's social media. I'm not saying that she doesn't say those things, but she says it to her Gail. You have to make sure that you have someone that you can dump on, someone that you and allow her to dump on you as well. So this has to be a close, close friend, someone that you can really literally let your hair down with. And I have a friend like that, and it's so, I don't have to have my coach hat on with her. I don't have to have my motivational hat on with her. I can just be myself. And if I'm feeling kind of funky, she's not judging me because of it. She totally accepts who I am, and that is my Gail. So that's who you need to have, someone that is your Gail on your team. So, excuse me, I just want to go over that briefly. The four types of people that you want to avoid: number one is the taker, number two is the complainer, number three is the doubter, and number four is the consoler, the person that's always telling you, honey, it's going to be okay, but they see that eye booger in your eye, but they're too afraid to tell you. And the four people that you want to have in your life is, number one, the optimist. Number two, the pessimist. Number three, the bold truth teller. And number four, your Gail King. Who is your girl? The one that you can just be who you are with no matter what, and she's not going to judge you. So I want to give you guys 6 points quickly on how to become a people magnet, how to really draw people to you and influence people. And especially if you're a business owner, you really want to have the power of influence, influence with people when you come in contact with them. Number one is to pay attention to the words that people are not saying when they're talking to you. More often than not, when someone is talking to you just briefly in the story, like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. But they got their head down. Their eyes are all bloodshot red. They kind of look like they were crying or something. And we just kind of take that and roll with, oh, okay, well, that's good. And we keep on going. No, I want you to start to pay attention to the words that people are not saying. And you will become a magnet to people. People will love you when you are able to hear the things that they're not saying. Number two is to be an exalter. Exalt people, praise people, compliment people. Don't be afraid to tell someone, girl, where'd you get those shoes from? Oh, I love your hair. Your makeup looks great. Make sure that you exalt people. We never, never know what a kind word or what a kind gesture or a compliment can do for someone. It can literally change the whole course of their day. The other day I was in Rite Aid and I was getting a prescription, and this girl's eyebrows, they were so pretty. I mean, she didn't have them drawn in. They weren't filled in, anything. They were just waxed, and they were really, really full. And she kind of didn't, you know, look like she was just, you know, bagging the medicine up and kind of looked like she didn't really want to be there. And as soon as I looked up and I saw her eyebrows, I was like, oh, my, like they took me by surprise. It's like, oh, my God, your eyebrows look great. And her whole demeanor changed. And I know everybody on this phone has experienced that before, but I want you to be more conscientious of doing that on a daily basis. On a daily basis, make that your prayer. When you wake up in the morning, ask God to put someone in your path that needs to hear a word of encouragement so you can be that person for them and literally change the course of their day. The third point is to, this is huge for some of us, the third point into becoming a people magnet is to open up and tell people your testimony. Open up and tell people your story. I shared this with you guys on the other night. When you share your story, you make yourself more relatable to other people. And people don't feel so threatened. They don't feel like you've got it all together and you've always had it together. No, if you've reached a level of success with in your life, make sure that you're open about that and you talk to people and tell them your testimony. If you know that there's someone that's struggling in a certain area and you've struggled in that area as well, but you've been able to overcome that, do not be afraid to tell your story with them. The scripture tells us that we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. I believe that's the rest of that that scripture. But you want to make sure you tell your testimony, tell your story to people, and piss the enemy off because he really wants us to keep our mouths closed and not tell anybody. And for some, that's going to be a stretch because, like I said the other day, a lot of us grew up in households where we said, what goes on in this house stays in this house, and you don't tell anybody anything. Don't live your life like that. People need to hear your story, and people love people that they feel that they can relate to. The next one, the next point is to be passionate. Like, wake up in the morning and be passionate about your life. And if you're not passionate about it, if you just have so much stuff going on in your life, put on passion. Put on passion. Act as in, I'm not saying implying to you for you to lie, but I'm just saying act passionate about something. Find something that you can be passionate about. And I can give you one thing. If you wake up in the morning and you're not hooked to a ventilator and you are breathing on your own, that is something to be ecstatic about. That's something to be passionate about. I remember years ago when my brother, my oldest brother, he was in a coma. I believe it was like for, oh goodness, maybe like a week and a half. And he wasn't even breathing on his own. The machines were breathing for him. So if you wake up in the morning and you are breathing on your own, that is enough to be passionate. So be passionate. Your passion Passion is your energy, and it is so electric. Like, people are drawn to people that are just excited and passionate about their lives. So the next point that I want to share with you is to lead people by example, not with your words. There are so many times when I get emails from married women that say, oh, I want my husband to pray with me. I want my husband to come to church with me. I want my husband to read the Bible with me. I want him to meditate with me, and he's not doing it. And I always say, well, you do it. You be that person to do it. And I promise you, it will not be long after that your husband or that person, not even necessarily your husband, but the people that you are trying to lead with your words. And a lot of us have said, and I appreciate it, but a lot of us are telling people, girl, you need to get on this Uncommon Woman Challenge. You need to do. And I, like I said, I appreciate that, but make sure that you're doing the work as well, because when people see the result and the success in your life, that's what really speaks to people, not what you're going to do or not what you're saying you're going to do. And I know that firsthand, because when I started going to church as I became an adult, I wanted my husband to come with me so bad. I wanted him to pray with me so bad. I wanted him to go to workshops with me so bad. And I would stop myself because he wouldn't do it with me. That's ludicrous. So if the person that you're trying to lead by your words, if you just get up and do it and stop trying to convince everybody else how beneficial it's going to be or how much fun you had, or if you do it, I promise you it's going to change your life, you go do it. You lead by example. And when they see the change in you, trust me, honey, they are going to want a piece of the action. And you will no longer have to say, honey, do you want to come with me? He's going to be getting up and getting dressed like, baby, come on, we're going. We're going to church today, or let's pray. But when you lead by example, that's really how you get other people to follow you. And the last point, the last point that I have for you ladies on tonight is to establish your brand. Establish your brand as a person. And what I mean by establishing your brand, oftentimes when we hear the word brand or branding, we think that you have to be in business or you have to be an entrepreneur. I don't care if you work at Starbucks and you make coffee. You have a brand. And whatever your name is, that is your brand. That's how people are going to know you. So establishing your brand is also establishing or discovering your purpose. So when you know what your purpose is, you are literally establishing your brand, and people will get to know you by your purpose, and people will get to be able to call on you because they know who you are, because you have established this brand. And this is really something that I share with my business clients, but it's also something we can take and utilize ourselves. Because like I said, even if you are not in business for yourself or an entrepreneur, you have a brand. So establish your brand and you will become a magnet to other people. So that's what I have for you ladies on tonight. And we are perfect, perfect time. I'm doing good with this time during this challenge. I'm going to go ahead and actually, before I do that, let me give you guys your homework assignment. Your homework assignment for tonight is to write the five things that you are grateful for, obviously, because that's our homework assignment for each and every night. And then I want you to, the next homework assignment is I want you to, during your prayer and meditation time tonight, I want you to think about the five people, I want you to literally pull out your phone and go down your phone for the last five people that you called, and I want you to describe what role do they play in your life. Are they qualified to stay in your life, or is it time for them to be demoted? And if they are, I want you to pray, not pray about the situation, because you already know the situation. I don't want you to pray about it. I want you to pray for the strength and the power to do something about it. oftentimes we say, oh, I'm going to pray about that. We get a revelation, and then we say, I'm going to pray about it. Pray about what? You already know what to do. You just, now you need to pray for the power to carry it out and to do it. So that's your next homework assignment, is to go through your phone, the last five people that you chatted with, and write down what role do they play in your life, and figure out if they are qualified to stay or if their time is up. All right, ladies, I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. If anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns, now is your time. Hang on 1 second. All right, ladies, anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns before we end on tonight?
Hey, Angel, it's Carrie again. I have a concern.
Uh-huh.
I have been interested in, I don't want to say let go because it's so hard for me to swallow that pill of letting go,
mm-hmm.
of my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so hard, because she is my sister and we used to be close. And now she's turned our relationship into a competition.
Wow.
So because it becomes so toxic, I do want to let her go. But then at the end of the day, with letting go of my sister, I feel like I'm letting go of my nieces and nephews too.
Mm.
So that's the hard thing to swallow. Like, I don't want to deal with your mom, but I don't want to let go of my relationship with the kids. So it's kind of like I'm the dad, like I'm the bad dad.
mm-hmm.
So she's so toxic to me though. But it's like, for her, it's like, if you don't take me, then you don't take my kids either. And you have to go through her to get to them.
Right.
So is it like, do you just enjoy this person because of her children, or do you just kind of look at yourself and have that selfish moment where you're just like, well, I have to just take care of me and say, you know what, I'm going to give it space until I can deal with it?
I don't need to say a word. You just answered your own question.
I keep on doing it. It's just so hard in the moment.
Are you okay, babe?
She comes off initially not malicious,
mm-hmm.
but then later on in the conversation, it turns malicious. So sometimes you're not sure. So that's why sometimes I'm on the fence with it. So I need to really just kind of back away.
Yeah.
You answered your own question, honey. And I would just pray for her, and I'm sure that you
hard.
Do now. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said the family part is hard. Letting go of friends, that's easy.
Because
you have to see your family, especially your sisters. Like, come on, they're there all the time. You have to see these people.
True, and in some cases, yes. I mean, I've been there before where I've had to let go of some people in my family, so I do understand. But like I said, you answered your own question. We do have to have that selfish moment. If that's a quote-unquote selfish moment, I call it a self-love moment. But we do have to have that. And maybe that's exactly what the relationship needs. And maybe she'll see that. Maybe she'll see herself.
About
it's that old thing. Angel?
Yes.
But I get it. Thank you so
this
much.
Is Bettina, but it's that old thing that actions make the heart grow fonder. And
yes.
It really, really is. I mean, I'm sure we've all had that challenge with different family members.
Yep.
If not family members, someone that's close enough to be a family.
Yep.
You felt guilty by walking away. But sometimes to gain your sanity, it's just
Definitely. Wait, Fatima, you said what was the last part that you said? Everybody else, if you can just put your phone on *6 if you don't have a question. What was the last part you said, Fatima? I didn't catch that.
I said, you know, basically, you feel selfish by letting go, or you feel like you're the failure for letting go of someone that's supposed to be family and someone you're supposed to love unconditionally.
Mm.
But
mm-hmm.
to keep your sanity and to make sure that you're staying focused on your goals, sometimes
mm-hmm.
it just happens. And when you don't have that negative pulling back on you, and I'm experiencing that on a daily basis, even now, when I don't have that negative pulling on me, I get so much accomplished. I'm just
yeah.
amazed. I am
yeah.
so amazed. And I use my rubber band. How?
Love it. I love it. Yes, Terry, you got it. You know what to do. Just ask God to give you the strength to do it and to be able to love your nieces and nephews from a distance in this season.
And I think all have phones that you can call them, because you can call them and talk directly.
Right, right.
That's true, but you have to get past the mom to talk to the kids, and it turns into becoming so, like,
toxic. Yeah.
I'm the absent parent.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah,
like, I don't want to deal with that. I'd rather just give the whole thing space, because if I deal with the kids, it's like I have to have that relationship with the mom first in order to get
right
to the kids. So
well,
I'd rather just take a break on the whole thing.
Now, holidays are not here yet.
Yeah,
yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
I'm okay with, yeah. No, I'm okay.
And pray for her happiness, because it sounds like maybe she's got some stuff going on that maybe you know about, maybe you don't know about.
Ooh, Andrew, mm-hmm, you don't know. I've been praying for this girl for the last 10 years on her happiness.
Keep going. Somebody's praying for you too, honey. Keep going. See, as long as we are alive, we're going to need somebody to pray for us as well as we're going to have to pray for others.
That's true. That's true.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so
yes
much.
You're welcome, Terry. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or concerns before we end on tonight?
I want to say one thing. This is, and I hate to be talking so much. However, I had my children in the car listening tonight, and they were so impressed with knowing that you're a relative of theirs and just listening. And Tiffany didn't even want to get out of the car.
Yeah,
and we're in the car, so it was great. It was a great experience for them to hear you talking about the power of my 7-year-old friend here today.
Oh, that is so awesome, Fatima. Thank you for sharing that with me. That is so cool. Hey, Tiffany. That is so cool. Thank you. Anybody
Hello
else have any questions? Yes.
Yes, this is Shakira. My question is, when you let people go, do you need to give them, like, some type of closure?
Mm.
Hmm.
Do you need to get what?
Do you need to give them closure? Do you feel that you need to give this person closure?
I think it's just who I am, and I know that I would want closure if I knew that a friendship or something like that was coming.
You said you know how you are, so you would want someone to do that for you.
Yeah, to give me some type of closure, because I've had relationships to end without closure, and I never knew what was really wrong.
Right, okay. So if you feel as though you want to give that relationship closure, then by all means do so. If that's how you feel that you want to end it, and maybe possibly that conversation that you have could be the turning point. Maybe it's a conversation that needs to be had anyway.
Yeah.
So if you feel that you want to give it closure, have that conversation, and it may just turn around.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have any more questions, comments, or concerns before we end on tonight? All right, guys. Well, I will see you tomorrow, the same place, same time. And I love each and every single one of you. And thank you so much for allowing me to pour into your life. Good night.
For more information about Angel Richardson and her life-changing products, visit Angel online at www.angelrichardson.com or call 1-866-920-7020.